Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. We'll call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting this Tuesday, September 25th. Can you believe we're at the end of September?
Nope.
And 2018. And ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, and good morning again. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number one. This opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda or really anything you want to comment on. Anybody wishing to comment, come right on up to the microphone. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of minutes from last week.
I would like to move approval with one addition. It's an insert of a phrase, and that would be down under direction regarding our story content. We're going down to the third line from the bottom, starting where it says, stated a simple solution to address Olson's concerns, and I'd like to insert one of Olson's concerns. And that's the only change here.
Okay, that's a motion. You got a second?
I'll second that.
Yeah, motion and a second. Further discussion?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes pass. Personnel actions, please add a rehire in the auditor's office effective 10/1/18 for Susan Brawland at $15 an hour, and this was based on a background check that we were waiting for. Is that right, Shelley?
Yes.
Okay. Move everything on. Else as presented.
Move as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda.
I move as presented.
Second.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. No public hearing items today. No additional items today. No agency reports today. No departmental reports today. Other reports, we get to discuss preliminary motor grader lease options for secondary roads. So, let's see. By way of background, 5 years ago, Story County took what was then kind of an unprecedented step for counties and explored and ultimately entered into a lease arrangement for 10 motor graders. Rationale for doing that, and Darren, I'd just ask you if I missed something here to correct me. Rationale for doing that is our lease payment for the 10 motor graders was cheap less than buying one new motor grader each year by multiple tens of thousands of dollars. It also, now all the motor graders that we use on a day-to-day basis were under full warranty for the five-year period, meaning that we greatly reduced. I want to say it was from like $130,000, $140,000 a year in repair down into the $40,000 or $50,000 a year in repair. Those numbers match up with what you have?
Yep, that's pretty good.
Anything else we need to add? So neither Loris nor Marty were on the board when we made this decision originally. Anything else you would add just in way of background?
Yeah, I'll do a quick background of how we got here. First of all, I can't believe it's been 5 years since we did this. But
when you and I went and met with the City of Ames, the City of Ames runs a similar program for some of their equipment, and this was unheard of. You and I went over to meet with them just to see if this was even feasible to explore.
So here's a snapshot. Could you hit the lights for me, please? Thank you. Those numbers are hard to read, but this is a snapshot back in 2013 when we were first talking about this. It's from our inventory spreadsheet. We had 13 motor graders. They ranged from 2013 age to 1998. So there's a 15-year age difference between the newest and oldest. Those are the hours that each had. We start getting over 10,000 hours, then you start getting into some major repairs. That's what we were trying to avoid by doing this. It was really unknown when those repairs were going to come up, but it's pretty easy to get a $40,000 engine replacement or transmission. Those are the purchase prices we paid for them, and we were currently up to almost $300,000 per year per motor grader. So averaging that out, that came to $387,000 is what we were having our annual cost be to maintain that motor grader fleet. We were trying to get rid of that maintenance cost, unknown, and also kind of upgrade the fleet a little bit. We had better machines with ergonomic controls. The steering wheel is no longer there. It's much easier on the operators. And we also locked in the machines without the new DEF system, which is emission control. We had a lot of issues with our trucks, and so we didn't want to jump into the new generation of that. So they've had 5 years to figure it out. So hopefully if we jump into that now, they'll have the system figured out a little better than our truck issues. So going in, this was the proposal back 5 years ago. We traded in our existing fleet for $1.3 million. That's really hard to read, sorry. And a payment of $260,000 is our annual payment for that 10 motor grader lease. These are some of the assumptions. We used half of that $1.3 million as a down payment, and the other half would go into our equipment fund for the next 5 years, which would be right now. So that $655 is still there in our fund. And the assumption was we'd capture savings each year somewhere, you know, around $60,000 and save $320,000 in those 5 years. And then the big assumption was Ziegler somewhat promised us we would see a conservative $30,000 a year, or $30,000 each equity when we trade those back in at the end of the 5 years, so that added up to $300,000. And that, you'll see in the numbers, has come true. They did offer us that equity payment. And so that essentially left us with $1.2 million in equipment fund right now to spend on the next lease. Some other things I'll just point out, the reason why we did this, we were able to then reduce from 13 down to 12 motor graders because our newer motor graders are much more reliable and under full warranty. So now we just have two spares. All motor graders be under warranty, so no unanticipated expenses. Lower inventory costs for us because all motor graders are exactly the same, so we keep one filter in stock for all the machines and stuff like that. More productive, less downtime. The only items we'll be responsible from here on out is the tires, glass, servicing, and blades. Purchase option, at the end of the 5 years, we do have the option of purchasing those 10 leased motor graders for $1.2 million. So here's where we're at today. I had Kat put together four options for us. Really, the first two are the ones we're considering. The second two assume we're trading in the snow equipment that's on them. We want to keep that snow equipment. It'll last us 10 years. So we're really only looking at options one and two in our minds. So that lease payment came out to $312,000 a year. That's the total amount those 10 motor graders cost now. The real cost with snow equipment, to give you an example, would be $341,000. 5 years ago, the machines cost $295,000. And they average about 3% increase a year. So I ran that out, and it came right out to the $241,000. So then take off the snow equipment, which was about, I believe, $28,000. It came right to the $312,000. So we're right where we thought we'd be 5 years later. The trade equity is right here. That's what Cat promised. Because Cat owns the machines, we can buy them back at the $124,000. And the Cat dealer actually gave us $155,000 for them, so that's the equity buildup in the machines. There's our down payment that we had banked from original equity we had in our motor graders. So this would be the cost. I'm sorry, I think I said that was the payment. That is not the payment. That is the cost of the motor grader. I'm sorry. This is the annual payment. Just take it times 10 for the 10 motor graders, it would be $280,135 each year. Would be our new cost, and then, again, the purchase option at the end of that 5 years, that actually went down a little bit from before, but we'd be able to purchase that motor grader for $121,000. And this is assuming we keep the current two spares that we have. They're just 1 and 2 years older machines than the leased or 2014s, and the other ones are 13 and the 12, I believe.
One of those has got the new motor you told us about.
Correct. Yeah, the one of the spares had an entirely new engine and motor fan transmission put in just this past summer. We don't use those spares much at all, and that's kind of the reason we don't like to use them. We used to have much older spares, 14, 15-year-old spares, and we really didn't want to take them out because that's when the repairs happened, the major ones. But we had to get that out and use because we had a couple incidents this summer. We had one motor hit by a car, so that was down for a while. We had another one in for repairs, so we did have to get the spares out to both of them this summer. So since that one does have a new engine and transmission, that's one we're really considering keeping for the next go. We got a lot of life left in it. Option two is essentially the same, but we're keeping two of the leased machines and trading in those spares. I guess they were a 2012 and 2011 machine. That payment just goes up a little bit, by $800 a year. Option three and four assumed we were trading in the snow equipment and wings, and that you see the total cost of the machine. If we went with the full cost with newest snow equipment, it's $341,000. That would bump up the lease payment to $332,000 a year. So you can kind of look 5 years down the road when we have to get the new snow equipment. Probably won't last more than 10 years, so the next go around at least we'll be asking for new snow equipment. We'll be back to this higher cost plus 3% a year on average. So option three and four, we're not really considering, but we put them in there for your information. This is just the trade-in values and the equity growth up. Like I said, this is if we left the snow equipment on what we traded back in. This is what the dealer is going to give them for each machine, and these are our two spares down here. They give us $140,000, $135,000, and we actually own those outright, so we do have a lot more equity in those machines. That's just shown over here. We're really the only equity we have in the rest is the difference between the buyout and what the dealer would offer us. So without the snow equipment, this is what we're proposing to do. I think we're going to do a combination of what we'd like to do of option one and two. Keep one of these and keep one of these, so that payment will be somewhere right in the middle of option one and two. Our mechanic's trying to pick out which one he thinks he wants to keep, but I think it'll be one of these leased machines and then keep the one that has the new engine and transmission in it. This is what I wanted to point out. In 2014, amount finance, that's not really true. That's kind of the value of the machines. That's not what we ended up paying with the five-year payments. That's just kind of the value that was financed. We don't end up paying that entire value when you lease something. You only end up paying maybe two-thirds of that. But that was set at a 3% interest rate through CAT. The value we're leasing this time, because we're not doing the snow equipment, is actually less. But as you see below, our payments actually went up. That's because CAT's interest rate is now 6%. That's something we couldn't have predicted, but we knew we were in an environment where interest rates were going up, so that was somewhat assumed. That's the only reason you're seeing for an increased payment over what it was before. The whole thing behind this really is what we're going to save in our maintenance costs and repairs. And so that's kind of a guess, and we don't know what we saved the past 5 years, but what we had CAT do is run the cost on the 10 leased machines. These are all the costs that they spent under lease. They added up to $456,000 over those 5 years, and keep in mind those are brand new machines for 5 years. So in years 5 through 10, you're going to see that number increase greatly. And just the two spares, we had an additional cost of almost $100,000. This is the one that had the new transmission and engine put in it. $73,000 for that. So you can see our assumption was based more on $300,000 a year, or $300,000 in those 5 years of savings, and reality was probably a little bit more than that. So I think it's worked out well for us. We're recommending, like I said, a combination of option one and two. I do want to point out, like I said, the next at least 5 years down the road is going to be a little more difficult because we're going to be adding the snow equipment in. We're going to see the increased cost due to, it could be interest rate increase. We don't know.
You're going to get to that $650,000 here going forward in 5 years. What's that sound like?
That's where I'm recommending when we go through our budget sessions, we just set away, I'd say, at least $150,000 a year. Like we do now, we bank that $650,000 in our carryover balance each year. So I just make sure that's in there each of these 5 years, and I think we'll have enough at the end of the five to continue this on. But it's been a good program for us.
Yeah, and I just want to underscore that the real value here to the people of Story County is less downtime with the motor graders, the ability to having everybody using the same driving platform where you get somebody out sick, you don't have to worry about whether that's a motor grader they're used to driving or not driving, and less downtime from the equipment. We used to own 13 motor graders. Or we used to run 13 motor graders. We owned them all, but we used to run 13 motor graders. Now we're down to 12. And you could almost make the argument that we could go to 11, but not quite. It's kind of an 11 and a half kind of thing. And so we're rounding up to 12. We did, in fact, I mean, by any metric, we saved substantial dollars in this first 5 years. I think it's probably reasonable that we'll save some money in the next 5 years. I don't think it's reasonable to think that we're going to save money in the third 5 years of this program. So then it becomes a matter of are you serving the public as you need to serve it? The other option that you didn't throw out would be not utilizing the entire $650 as a down payment and upping our annual payment. I mean, it all comes out in the wash, right? Either we're putting it in for the next time, mm-hmm. or you have it as part of our payment. But those are the options that you guys need to consider. And then the final option is that we just go ahead and buy all these pieces of equipment and we go back into the days of Story County owning these, trying to replace one a year and working our way through it. I think those are the options that are in front of us right now.
Yep, and I guess you got away with that $650. If that 6% interest is, you know, something we want to do, I just didn't put it all down now and see how it comes out in 5 years and save that at least $150,000 in our carryover budget each year and just bank up the money over time.
Thoughts?
No, that would be the way I'd be inclined, just was looking at the world today on the computer and they were talking to the feds looking to do two more rate increases just this year alone. So I think whoever is sitting here in 5 years is going to be able to look back and say 6% is cheap money. So I like the idea of just using all the $650,000 now and saying that's to buy down, and we've got it there to use, let's use it.
I'm in agreement. I can't believe I feel that 6% is high.
We store
mortgage each day. We're going to make 12% extreme low. So as long as but yeah, I think it's a sound way to go. And so I'm very supportive of what the staff wants to do.
Lastly, I want to point out this is an old slide from 5 years ago, so the dates aren't correct, but this is the steps we used back then. We held a public hearing on the 24th because this does require, since it's a lease through the county, a public hearing. Then the public had 30 days from that date to petition for an election. That did not happen. So on October 29th, the board officially approved that lease agreement. So I plan in the next few weeks here to get that hearing published and set up for the board. And at that point, I'll have a better document for you that you see the actual numbers on at that hearing. But you won't actually officially approve that until a month later.
So we'll be in the middle of November, which still work, right? These leases run through the end of December?
Actually, March, about March 1st, we got to have the new machines in. So we got that was comfortable going through November.
I do have a question. 5 years ago, did you go through an RFP process, or how did we handle it?
Somewhat. We typically, we weighed, before we did the lease, we essentially had Cat and John Deere submit bids. There was a few issues with John Deere's. They originally submitted a bid to go along with it, but as we refined it down, they eventually just backed out on their own. There were some issues. We wanted the new ergonomic controls. They still had the steering wheel. They're still kind of working that system out. They had some other issues with the model. They couldn't quite match the model. Their model came in at a higher cost because it had some, you know, higher, bigger engines and stuff in it, so they couldn't really match apples to apples. So they ended up just backing out.
And so now here, as we head into the next five, because the original proposal was based somewhat on trade-in value, and moving forward, have you talked to the county attorney about any legal obligation we have to rebid?
Secondary roads and equipment purchases, we do not have a legal obligation to take bids or low bids.
It's such a specialized piece of equipment. There's such a limited number. Really, two. I think you could find a third, but then it's not a brand that's used.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
No.
So Darren, what I'm taking out of this, and this is not a consideration, I'm taking out of this that the board is supportive of where staff is headed in this. You guys figure out which two motor graders make sense to keep. It's not enough of a dollar difference that I think any of us are going to crawl under any of the machines and try to figure out which one's better.
Nope.
You guys figure out what makes the most sense to you, and then let's move through the public hearing process.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you.
All right. In honor of Paula Toms, we are now at public forum number two at the end of our meeting. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on anything they want to comment on. Anybody wishing to do so, please come on up to the microphone. And seeing no one moving the microphone, liaison assignments. Marty.
Waiting on word from Hormel's board to tell us whether the Burt project is a go. We'll be in Bloomington next week with Deb. In regards to the ADC, is taking us in there to learn how the home of the University of Indiana works on a county-city basis in regards to their downtowns. It was interesting to hear Dano's presentation last week because that's the town he grew up in.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
I know. When you look at Dano, you think he's a worldly man. I grew up in Indiana.
Boy, that was a cut on Indiana.
No. Long time Bobby Knight fan here, so.
And we say go Hoosiers.
Yeah, go Hoosiers. Right. I would blame the market down here because the mental health agency, ICS, is going to start the discussion the first of 2 months in regards to the admittance of Cerro Gordo into the region. We have tasked our administration team to research out all that is done in the Cerro Gordo County in regards to their mental health delivery in Bob Lincoln's region, and seeing how that fits and where the temperature is, and that will be a pretty lively discussion, as I've already heard from some other supervisors, pro and con. We sit here like Switzerland, we're in the middle and nobody doesn't like us. So it'll be interesting, but what I do propose to do, after this Thursday, I'll be asking Jody Eaton to come speak to the board either on the 9th or the 16th so that we have the ability to weigh in as a board of supervisors in behalf of Story County so that I would go and vote our wishes. So it's not something I'm just going to...
So I would say this. I would say you're our representative on CICS, and so as our representative, you're empowered to do what you feel is right. I think it's completely appropriate for Jody and Carla and you to lay it all out for me and Loris and take our feedback for whatever that's worth. But I know my view on all of our board and commission appointments is you go forward. You're the one who sits through every one of those meetings. You're the one who's the vice chair. And I appreciate you getting the input from me and Loris, and I think that's right. But at the end of the day, you've got to be the one representing us.
And I will, but I think this is of such importance because there are some hard bitten feelings on both sides of this issue that I would like the fact that nobody can sit there and say we did not have this discussion amongst us. We did not bring it before the people of Story County because it really stretches the boundaries north and south of what the region is now, and I think it would be foolish for us as a region and foolish for me as the county's representative to do something that would cause it to slip away.
Yep. With that. Anything else?
No, I'm done.
Okay, Loris.
Okay, so the safety committee met, headed into safety day on October 3rd, And I was really pleased to watch the dynamics and participate in the dynamics of the safety committee. Todd is taking us in a new, deeper thought direction, and that's good, and we've gotten over our initial shock, so thank you. Alyssa, I, and then Barb Steinbeck, and Joel and Kyle down in IT went ahead and met with the two kind of final vendors that the staff had selected to look at the boardroom refresh. One has been asked to resubmit the bid with a few other items included, but both of them looked good. Both of them clearly understood what was needed and provided a lot of good information. I attended the Aging Resources monthly meeting last week, and one of the good news items to come out of that is that as Aging Resources has finalized its budget, there was some money in the reserve account that in the past they held for bill payment, and of course I discussed before at the board table that the state has, the legislature has now required that they reduce the amount that can be held in reserve to help pay on bill payments and fiscal movement. So that money is going to be given to the home Meals on Wheels and those home programs. So hopefully some of it might flow back to Mary Greeley and Heartland to make up for the fact that, as we heard at the Joint Asset Funders meeting a couple weeks ago, some money had been cut from the program that was coming forward. Don't have any more on that before. I'm sure that's something that Deb Schildhaus and the admin asset team, asset admin team, can go ahead and pursue. I'm headed down to Des Moines this afternoon for older Iowa legislation. And legislators, their meeting, and I was just invited to the final session where actually they set their legislative priorities to head an image to the 2019 legislature. There is a situation that has come up between YSS and Community and Family Resources. And I just want to make the board aware of it. I have turned it over to Deb Schildhaus as, once again, our representative on the asset admin team for what might be different requests coming forward this next asset year. CFR and YSS, we're going to partner on the application to the Iowa Public Department of Health. And that has to do with the fact that the IDPH changed how they bid out some prevention and some treatment programs. In the past, YSS could bid on counties separately and take up part of that, and then the Community and Family Resources had the rest of those services through all 80 counties in the region. When the Iowa Public Department of Health combined the application process, it was going to be that YSS and CFR were going to apply jointly. It's about $1.6 million. YSS was looking at getting about $180,000 of that. Then, as they're finalizing the applications, the CFR was notified of a federal grant they had applied for 9 months ago. They received it, and it changed the staffing needs and distribution at CFR. I was contacted by Andrew Allen, the CEO of YSS, and I did have some discussions with the executive director of CFR to try and see if we could work this out so that YSS could stay as a partner in submitting the grant. That did not seem to be what the executive director felt was best for CFR. However, YSS was offered the opportunity to go ahead and subcontract. I think that's the right term, since CFR would be the contractor. And at this point, I understand YSS is not interested in that and looking at other solutions. And I believe one of those solutions might be coming to asset for more money. So I'll leave it there. As I said, it's with a gift. And then the final situation is on HRDA. And this has just come up with the board members, and I think about the last 24 hours. And the executive director is working on this. We are supposed to have a phone call on Thursday morning, which was to approve our auto insurance, if you will, on the buses for the next year. And as our insurance agent put out for the quotes in the last few days, the insurance climate has changed, and they are now concerned about the amount of control that HRDA has over its contract drivers, because we do have one county that uses contracts with another service. So I will keep you apprised of that via you know, emails. Okay, once again, Deb, I'll turn over what I have to you for that. I don't believe it will affect us monetarily, but there is a problem because right now, as of this point, we're not sure there'll be insurance on the vehicles. So that's pretty much what I have to update you on.
All right, thank you. Three quick things for me. Last week was the statewide Mental Health and Disability Services Commission meeting. I continue to view my role there as pushing DHS and our managed care providers to get this funding figured out. It's one thing if we're talking about services, what the rates are for services, or whether they're paying for services. It's another thing entirely when they're simply just not paying their bills in a timely fashion, and our providers, especially from a cash flow perspective, are providing services and then not getting paid in a timely fashion, and in some cases not getting paid at all. It's unacceptable, and it's got to get figured out, and I'm pushing to get that figured out. Along those lines, had my MICA board, Mid-Iowa Community Action Board meeting last night, and actually we had to move $90,000 from the general fund over to cover those kind of non-payments from the managed care organizations. Really puts even a larger organization like MICA, and MICA is about a $15 million a year organization, but operating on razor thin margins, really puts them in a bad way, and that is, it's even more pronounced for some of our smaller service providers. As far as MICA goes, we are finally fully staffed again in the Story County Dental Clinic, which I don't know if you guys have taken a tour of the dental clinic yet. I know Gloria Simons would love to give you a tour. It is such an important service for those people in Story County, particularly children, but all the people in Story County who otherwise can't afford to see a dentist. And so many of health problems start there with the teeth. Hopefully now we're going to have the dental clinic in a position where it can cash flow itself on a continual basis now that it's fully staffed. And assets been phenomenal with them working through all that. And then finally, in my role as the chair of the policy committee for the supervisor affiliate in ISAC, met with all the regional CEOs of our mental health regions around the state, just working on the strategy for how we're going to go down to the state house this year and try to make sure that we get some more consistent funding without the strings attached, having to pay down ending fund balances and Marty, so many of the things that you guys are dealing with in the regions. And we'll have another meeting either later this week or next week, just trying to get ready for the October 5th date. Actually, we've got Representative Hedden serving on a interim study committee that's looking at this issue, and so we're trying to give them some options that are reasonable for counties. That's what I have. Anything else for us?
No.
If not, I'd take a motion to adjourn.
I move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.